On Mondays, we read from your letters, and we've received many reactions to the news from Iraq. This email is from a listener who asked that we not use his name. I wish I could share in the joy that some people in Baghdad exhibited upon the toppling of Saddam's 40-foot bronze statue. I've lived in America for over 20 years. This America is not the America that I wanted to come to 25 years ago. I am not proud to be an American. On the contrary, I am ashamed that America has miserably failed in the diplomatic arena. From Don A. Tim in Naples, Florida, a different take on the same event. I'd like to share with you an excerpt from an email I received today from an officer with the 3rd Infantry Division headquarters in Baghdad. We set up a TV in our HQ, and I watched it yesterday as I worked. For me, this was a perfect metaphor for this entire operation. They needed our help to overthrow an established dictator just as they needed our help to bring down his statue. We don't mind helping in either case, and we hope that our cooperation continues on more important matters in the future. Gene Hubbard of Traverse City, Michigan, wrote in during our program on the rebuilding of Afghanistan. My brother is currently serving in Afghanistan for the Army, she writes. In one of his last emails, he mentioned that he hopes reconstruction would begin soon as, in his words, actions seem to speak louder than words here. I think we need to follow through on our promises to these people, or we will lose more credibility in the region and possibly put our troops there in worse danger than they already are. During our segment on the history of Iraq's capital city, there were several questions that we didn't have time to get to, so we've invited Richard Bullitt back to the program. Professor Bullitt teaches Middle Eastern history at Columbia University, and he's with us from his office in New York. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Our first question is from Doug Jackson. Are there any examples, he asks, of an Arab country that has successfully incorporated democracy and tribal factionalism that would serve as a model for Iraq?
I think that it's worthwhile looking at Lebanon as a country that has a parliamentary system, has held elections many times since World War II, and that also has a population that is very, very deeply divided along religious lines. In the case of Lebanon, there was a civil war for 15 years, starting in 1975, and it has been under Syrian partial occupation and political control since the end of that civil war. And yet the institutions remain. There is a president, there is a prime minister, they do hold elections, and they do have a sort of a national agreement on how positions in the government will be apportioned according to the factional differences within the country. Lebanon is far from being a perfect democracy, but it is a place where Arabs have voted, have created political parties, and where they see participation as a natural part of political life.
Our next question from Joseph Gallucci in Phoenix, Arizona. How did the city of Baghdad get its name, he asks, and what does Baghdad mean?
That's an interesting question because the name given to Baghdad at the time of its founding in the 750s was Medina Tislam, which means city of peace, and on the coins that are minted from Baghdad, that is the name of the mint as it appears on the coinage. But by and large, that was superseded by a local name, perhaps of a village, from the area where the new capital was established. The people who lived in that area spoke the Aramaic language, but the name Baghdad doesn't really fit very well into an Aramaic linguistic pattern, and it seems rather to come from a Persian source in which the first syllable, Bag, would be a version of the word for God. There was an old Persian word, Baga, that meant God. And Daud would be gift from the Persian verb meaning to give. And that would mean that the name would have a sense of gift of God. But we have no document that actually proves that. And since Persians were not the primary population, there will always remain some doubt as to whether that theoretical reconstruction is accurate or not.
Richard Bullitt, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Richard Bullitt, professor of Middle Eastern history at Columbia University. We read from your emails every Monday. The best way to reach us is totn@npr.org. Please remember to put the topic in the subject line and include where you're writing from, your name, and a tip on how to pronounce either if we're going to need it. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsko Sato, Justine Kennan, Alicia Montgomery, and Megan Williams. Chad Campbell is our director. Brendan Banaszak is our production assistant. Our interns are Tim Dalton and Daniel Riemann. Kevin Wade is our technical director. He has help from Vince Muse, Kimberly Jones, Cal Southworth, and Mitch Eaton. Ellen Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. And the executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.